Mr. Chair, I think there was an administrative action sheet that ended up in the electronic book. I just put a red X on that because we're actually not bringing licenses to you today, so we will not ask for any action on that today.
It feeds in March, right?
Okay.
Very well. Are we going to move on to number 13, bighorn sheep?
Yeah, so the bighorn sheep hunting season. Again, this would be for another two-year recommendation. You can see the season dates there below, running from the month of September through December. We have some exciting news here based on some of the survey data. And Mr. Chair, I might ask, I believe Trenton Halfley is on us or with us here via Zoom. And I would ask Trenton, if it's okay, Mr. Chair, to have him give you a quick 5-10 minute update on our population status of bighorn sheep to help justify the recommendations we have here for you.
Yeah, thanks, Chad. Chris, do you have my presentation?
Yes, I believe so.
Can you see that okay, Trenton?
Yeah.
We have it. Okay.
Yep. And then, okay. So that, the distribution map there is the, what we call or consider our modern distribution. Obviously, with the pneumonia issues we've been dealing with over the last 20 years, that has kind of shrunk and changed and moved around a little bit. But if we can get all of our herds healthy, that would be the distribution map that we'd expect to see. Most of that distribution was created with either GPS collars, VHF collars, or some of the survey research work that we've done. And then, so speaking of surveys, one of the maybe more important surveys that we do is a harvest survey. So all successful bighorn sheep hunters are required to bring their sheep to a biologist here at the Rapid office within 24 hours of harvest. One of the more important things that we do is we plug that horn with a metal numeric plug that identifies that ram as a legally harvested ram. We also record age and score, and we also have an opportunity then to take any disease samples if we're currently monitoring any diseases in the herd. Usually we're just looking for presence of Mycoplasma ova pneumonia, but we may also look at some contagious eczema or ORF that we've seen in some herds in the past. Also looked at lungworm loadings and also some other parasites. We also do winter ground counts in November and December. For some of our herds, that establishes some of our minimum estimates. And really what that means is we just make multiple trips into the area where the herds exist. We count ewes, rams, and lambs. And at the end of the survey period then, say we counted 10 class 4 rams, that essentially then becomes our minimum estimate because we know there's at least that many in the herd and likely there's more. We can also establish some gender ratios, particularly looking at ram to ewe ratios there. We definitely don't want to over-harvest any rams, and generally speaking, our herds in South Dakota don't see the selection pressure that we see in other states. Our sheep in general live at pretty low elevations, have pretty mild winters compared to what they've evolved to withstand. We also don't see the large predators that we deal with in other states like wolves and mountain lions. So our ram to ewe ratios are usually in really good shape. In fact, some years we turn up ram to ewe ratios that are almost 1-to-1. So if you look at some age ratios, particularly the lamb to ewe ratios, we like to see ratios anywhere from 40 to 50 lambs per 100 ewes. We can also use this as somewhat of an indicator of disease presence. So for instance, in the Rapid City herd, where we've been monitoring some persistent pneumonia die-offs for the last couple of decades, we've seen recruitment as low as 5 lambs per 100 ewes or 10 lambs per 100 ewes. That's a good indication that even in the absence of positive disease samples, we've still got some issues going on because the lambs are so susceptible to die-off. We're also starting some mark resite and some detection surveys, particularly in our Elk Mountain herd. We've had some issues with our ground surveys accurately representing the number of sheep that are down there, or like we saw with some of our mountain lion estimates, it's really tough to be as accurate as we'd like to be, so we're going to try a different method. We've been collaring bighorn sheep on Elk Mountain for the last couple of winters, and now this winter we're going to use a helicopter and fly an aerial survey to see if that helps us develop just a maybe a slightly more precise population. So looking at what our ground counts show us then for population estimates, on Elk Mountain, like I said, you know, our range is about 150 to 200, but we're going to try and refine that a little bit. We do potentially think there was an issue with some blue tongue virus in Elk Mountain this year. Obviously, across most of western South Dakota, we were dealing with some EHD. We did have some blue tongue showing up in some mule deer and bighorn sheep around Badlands National Park there in Pennington County. The state of Wyoming documented blue tongue and EHD in quite a bit of their big game herds there in eastern Wyoming. We did have a couple of sheep collars that came up on mortality about the time we expect to see a blue tongue die off. So this will be kind of a really interesting winter to fly this winter survey and see what our population estimate shows us. Then obviously with the Badlands herd, like you guys have been briefed here the last couple of months, we did document pneumonia in that herd back in August. Best indication at this point is, you know, we've probably seen 50% reduction, maybe a little more. We did just get some additional information from Badlands National Park yesterday that they had four additional sheep that were dead that tested positive in November, which also indicates, you know, probably still dealing with a little bit of pneumonia die-off out there. I'm just not 100% sure what the extent of that die-off has been yet. Deadwood, unfortunately, we did have a MOBI detection again in November. Just a quick summary there. We did do a bunch of testing the winter of 2020, and we did not detect MOVI in any of those sheep. So we thought we were kind of free and clear. And then lo and behold, in November, we had a lamb show up that was often in pretty rough shape and ultimately died. The good news there, though, is that, you know, I guess good news is relative. It is the same strain of mycoplasma that we've been dealing with, which likely means we just missed a positive ewe somewhere. So we're going to go back and do some additional testing, see if we can find that ewe. We should be able to get that herd cleaned up. The alternative there would have been if it was a different strain, I would have likely suggested we had another MOVI infection from a different source. Probably would have triggered some deeper discussions about the feasibility of having bighorn sheep in Deadwood. But as it is, I think we'll be able to just continue testing and find that probably only one or two adult ewes that are still positive and get those couple of pieces. And the chart there just kind of demonstrates from our ground counts what we were able to come up with for sheep in each of these herds. For the Rapid City total, most of those individuals have radio collars, so we're pretty confident that that's a pretty good estimate of what we have in Rapid City. We did see some pretty decent lamb numbers. You know, if you look at the total available ewes there was 17, and 7 of them produced lambs. So that's really encouraging. That's some of the best recruitment we've had in the last 20 years out of that. And I will draw your attention to Hell Canyon and Custer State Park in particular and the ram counts we have there. That'll be important when Chad starts talking about license allocation here in the next couple of slides. That's all I've got for a brief presentation here. I'd sure be happy to take any questions if commissioners have.
Any questions? Anybody have any questions? Great update. Appreciate the time you put into that.
Mr. Chair, I'll go to the recommendations here. Thanks, Trent, for the summary. What we're bringing forward here today is licenses that would be made available to applicants and to an option license holder for 2022 and the 23 hunting season. Based on the information that Trenton just shared with you, we do have some unfortunate news. Obviously, we detected OV pneumonia in that Unit 4 in the eastern part, north of the Badlands and within Badlands National Park. We're going to continue to monitor and collaborate with their staff and provide any services, whether it's staff or monetary assistance through the auction license fund or whatnot, to help them manage and research, OV pneumonia issues there within that herd. But on the bright side, we do have some additional opportunity within Custer State Park and Hell Canyon area. I don't know if you've seen the figures up there, but we do have a substantial substantial for South Dakota standpoint. We do have some good cohorts within, a class three and class four bighorn sheep ram. And in visiting with Scott Simpson and his staff there, in particular for Custer State Park, the recommendation here to increase there, we're still confident that we will have good-looking rams for park visitors to observe while they come in and visit the park. So with that being said, the recommended change here would be to increase the number of ram bighorn sheep licenses from 8 to 11. With my time with the department, I don't think we've ever offered that many bighorn sheep licenses, so that's good news. Obviously, one of those 11 would be an auction license that I believe John Cantor or Tom will visit with you tomorrow on that. And then the change number two there would be we have a current rule. Obviously, hunting bighorn sheep in South Dakota is a once-in-a-lifetime deal. Not very many of us have much experience with bighorn sheep or how to hunt them, things to look for to determine, things between a ewe or a ram or their habitats they use and whatnot. So we do have a mandatory orientation meeting requirement. And in rule right now, it states that hunters have to attend an orientation meeting prior to the start of the season. And we, just to be a little bit more customer friendly, we would like to change that to preceding the first day of their hunt. So if they don't come out till November 15th to hunt, they can stop at the Rapid City office and meet with Trenton Halfley or Chad Lehman and have that orientation and not have to make a special trip out to Rapid City or Custer State Park prior to the season to have that orientation meeting. So pretty simple, I think, straightforward recommendation there. So, Mr. Chair, with that, that would be our recommendation. Obviously, we would issue no licenses in that Unit 4, but we do have some opportunity there to add in Custer State Park and Hell Canyon and Elk Mountain, a shared herd with Wyoming, still retain the offering of three licenses there on the South Dakota side, and I believe Wyoming is doing the same. So,
questions? Yeah. Okay, second. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.